call the meeting of the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct to order. And basically, when we left last, we had voted on, I guess, all three of the options, and they had died on ties. They were deadlocked. And we were having a discussion regarding what our next options are and what we would like to do to proceed. So I will open it up, and if there are any ideas for resolution. I will comment a little bit on the discussion we were having just prior to session earlier. And I think Senator Sharon, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we at least, you know, we were agreeing a little bit on the fact that we may be deadlocked, and it may be I'm searching for the exact word that I want to use, but it, you know, to come back continually and kind of sit here and hash over the same things may not be the best, wisest use of our time. And it may be that, I did offer at that time, I mentioned that if someone comes up with some new ideas or new information, things like that, we could reconvene, but it may be at the best, we may be at a point where we adjourn and admit we are deadlocked and adjourn. And if there is additional information or recommendations that would be forthcoming, I would reconvene at that time if there was something that changed, if we had some situation that changed. Senator Harrington?
Two things. One idea that I'd had earlier on that we have not, as far as I can recall, we have not actually discussed, which would be to actually look at the videotape of the press conference as a way of being able to compare that to the statements to see if, in actually seeing the press conference, which I haven't seen, if that provides us with any new insights as to the veracity issue on the complaint. So that was one idea that that I had tossed around to see if that was a way of getting at more information. Seemed to me that that was stuff that was already in the public venue, so it would not be disclosing information that was not already out there in the public eye, but perhaps in reviewing it, it might give us some additional insights into the context or into the statements that Senator Michelle has made here in comparison with what was on the videotapes.
And I don't know if we've, I don't recall if that was at the other hearing that you had mentioned that, but I don't recall ever having that discussion, but I guess I would. That, in my mind, and I was just looking through. I am not 100% sure, but I thought that there was some information that Senator Pappas had handed out at the last committee regarding transcripts, I think. I was just going to glance through and see if, because we may have been provided that. There's a handout that we were provided with a transcript of it. I don't know. I don't believe the, and so I guess I don't see, we had that. And I would think that, you know, if we move into, given that we had this, I don't know if there's any additional reason to view a videotape of it, but Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Madam Chair, is it not addressed even in the complaint? I think it might be. The discrepancy in the time is what Senator Harrington's talking about, and I don't know that Senator Michelle denies that. I mean, it's a part of public record as far as the media, the discrepancy of 3 week versus the, I recall, I should really refer to the notes here, but versus the 3 month issue. And I think that's where part of the confrontation is coming from here, or where the allegations are forming from, is that whether that was good judgment on his part or not. And I don't know that that's – I think it's in the complaint.
Well,
Senator Harrington.
My issue isn't whether it's a good judgment or not. It's whether it's accurate and factual information.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've heard you agree with me that there is a discrepancy. Actually,
it's in the complaint, and it's even referred to as a cover up here, I believe, month of September and December. So I mean, it's in the complaint. It's been there since day one, and it's whether this group, I guess, feels that discrepancy in the interview is something that is unbecoming of a senator, and I happen to disagree that it is. So.
But you don't disagree that it's inaccurate.
What's inaccurate?
That his statement that it's 3 weeks when it's 3 months is would be an inaccurate statement.
Well, I think, you know, I'm not going to put anything in his you know, mouth here, but he definitely acknowledges that interview did go on. I believe that's a fair statement. So I don't think I have to disagree with that. It's a matter of record. Am I incorrect? Correct me if I'm wrong. Senator Harrington wants to talk, Madam Chair, Senator Harrington wants to talk about bringing the TV interviews here. Does the information we have cover that, I guess? Well, more so than the complaint?
It looks like this.
I.
Yeah.
You've got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I'm assuming that was provided to us at the last hearing. And I guess, you know, as we go beyond the complaint, we go into further investigation. And so if we are to be focusing on what is in the complaint, but I just pointed that out because it was provided to us.
Are we in? And I guess maybe I'm my inquiry is: are we in agreement that there was an inaccurate statement given the complaint and given the transcript? That was, I guess, that was the point of bringing back the videotape, was to see if we could resolve whether, in fact, inaccurate statements had been made. And I'm not sure that there's an admission of inaccurate statements being made in Senator Michelle's response to this. There is an allegation of it, and then what, to me, would be either corroborating information in this transcript, and I would assume we would find similar corroborating information in if we reviewed the videotape.
And Senator Harrington, I think that goes beyond the information presented for the decision on probable cause. I think what you're encouraging us to move on to an investigation portion,
right?
Evidence. You're talking about things like that.
And we need evidence to establish whether there's probable cause. I'm not going beyond simply trying to establish whether there's probable cause. And the point that's been raised is that it has to be in the complaint, and then it has to be something that we have. So this has been pointed to as something we have that's in the public view, so it doesn't violate the parameters of kind of the box of where we can go. So it's in the complaint. This corroborates that what was in the complaint. And
well, Senator Harrington, I think that I guess, given that there's the transcript in front of us, I don't see necessarily viewing the videotape offers additional. And I think that we move into an investigation phase as we start going that direction. And you did mention, you know, we voted on that clearly earlier today on your.
But we're still in the probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in the probable cause inquiry phase of this. So And you asked what else we could do. So that's that's what I offered, is that that would help us determine probable cause. If the transcript isn't sufficient, then the videotape would provide us with another vehicle to get us to what I believe is probable cause, that inaccurate information that was put out.
And that, excuse me, Madam Chair.
Senator Sharon.
The point that you're making is that it's public, already out there in public, so it really doesn't create a problem for us in terms of adding information or excluding information that isn't already out in the public. I think that in the complaint, if you accept the complaint as valid and accurate, then it does demonstrate in that, especially statements made in numbers 3 and 4 are in conflict with, and it's C and D, I think it's C and D, are in conflict with and not affirmed in other statements made by Senator Michelle in 8, 9, and 11. So that is where the complaint relying on this public information is indicating that, and is the basis for the complaint, that that some statements were true and some statements are not true, and that was the issue of the complaint, that there was an issuance of untrue statements. That's part of the complaint, one of the issues in the complaint. That's what's demonstrated here. Items 3 and 4, C and D under 4, are in conflict with items 8, 9, and 11.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Mr. Mayor.
When the members are referring to the transcript, are they referring to the this document that I think it was Senator Pappas's office handed out, which has an NPR tagline and purports to be a full transcript of the December 16th press conference?
Excuse me.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
I would just point out that that's someone at NPR's version of what was said. It's not a transcript per se. I mean, transcripts are sworn, and this isn't that. And so I'm wondering, is there something other than this that purports to be a transcript that the committee has that we don't?
No, Mr. Mayor, that's what I was looking at, and you are correct. But that is what we are provided with. And
right. Which then brings me back to my, if that's not an acceptable vehicle for this, then getting an acceptable vehicle to actually give us a document that we can work off, then whether that's the actual videotape itself or a certified transcript, then seems the reasonable next step.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, Senator Harrington, are you questioning the actual function of the Assistant Majority Leader's way of handling the case, or are you questioning the time lapse between statements that were given to the press? Are you implying that he did nothing and when we know that she was confronted with this issue? I'm assuming you're not questioning that. You're just questioning the time frame here, the time testified or the time stated to the media. That's what the discrepancy is.
Senator Harrington?
I'm sorry. Because it appears I don't think anybody's going to deny the fact that the situation has been handled. We're just questioning the way it, the time frame that it was handled, or the time frame that was stated to the media. That's what the question is.
And
that's where the
Senator
problem
Harrington?
Is.
Narrowly confined to this particular line of questioning, what I am questioning is the accuracy of the statements given in the press conference. That he says, at one point in a press conference, he says one thing, at another time he says something different, and that those two are in conflict. Therefore, he must have made inaccurate statements to the press. We haven't gotten to any other subject matter beyond simply whether or not inaccurate statements. That's all the videotape would help us determine would be whether or not inaccurate statements were in fact given. So my line of questioning in this case is pretty narrowly focused.
And again, Madam
Senator
Chair, and again, that's narrowly focused on the time. On the time that was stated to the media from Senator Michelle that, in fact, it wasn't 2 weeks, it was actually longer than that. That's where the discrepancies are coming from. That's where this line of questioning is coming in. Not whether it was handled or not. It was just the time frame which is in question here as to, really it wasn't, was it 2 weeks or was it, I don't remember the months, is it 2 months or whatever months versus 2 weeks? Is that, that's where the whole thing is coming from. It's not how.
The suggestion that I made, which was related to what else we could do or what other information we could gather, was to look at the videotapes. I was directed toward the transcript as a substitute for the videotapes, and the line of questioning that the videotapes could help us determine was whether or not inaccurate statements had been made to the press.
The charge here is to determine probable cause if we would, or and if we would then proceed with an investigation. In that sense, we will deal with the complaint, I guess. And so what I'm feeling like is that you really want us to move into an investigation.
No, I'm simply trying to determine whether the complaint, as stated, has enough validity to be able to make a determination of probable cause. I'm not looking for anything that's not in the complaint.
You assume that those, when you're looking at the probable cause, you assume those are accurate.
Well, if we assume that those are accurate, then we would all be agreeing to make the finding of probable cause. Clearly, not everyone at the table is assuming that the complaint as written is accurate. And so what I'm trying to do is try and provide enough information so that those of us who don't see it as probable cause would have better information in front of them so that they could say, yes, the complaint says inaccurate information was given, and here in front of us is his statement on this date, and here's his statement on this date. Those two are in conflict. One of the two must be wrong. Therefore, they must be inaccurate, which would validate that part of the complaint. And that's all. All that does is lend to say, then there is probable cause to believe the complaint because we have been able to validate at least one significant point within the complaint.
It's number 18. Excuse me. It's number 18 that you're referring to in the complaint that this is in relationship to, not what I think you're asking about, Senator Ingebretson, which is swift action. It has to do with a betrayal of public trust by making false and clearly misleading public statements regarding when he became aware of an alleged inappropriate relationship between the Senate Majority Leader and a subordinate Senate employee, which he corrected only after being confronted with a contradictory statement by another party. And if we accept that that is true, we've accepted that this complaint, the data that's in it is accurate, I guess, would be, then that is probable cause. If there's a struggle with whether or not you believe that this is accurate, I think Senator Harrington says, well, let's look at directly at the information, and then maybe that'll help those who do not know. I don't understand, I guess, Senator, Ingebrigtsen, if what Senator Fischbach is saying is that if we're assuming that what's in here is true, then the four of us are assuming that 18 is true.
But then, Senator Sharon, I'm sorry to interrupt, but then your question is whether or not he actually violated the rule.
That's the next question.
Yes. So you, and that, I believe, is where Senator Ingebrigtsen and I don't believe that that's the case.
But that doesn't have to be the case. If we can determine the probable cause of one of the allegations is true, that allows us to move forward. It doesn't have to, not every one of the allegations has to be provable in order to believe that there's probable cause, that part of the complaint is factually based.
But Senator Harrington, we already voted on that. And
And you asked whatever the information would.
And I appreciate that.
And what we've said is, well, we can bring in better information that would validate that number 18 in the complaint is in fact true. We can do it through videotape, or we can do it through a certified transcript. But that would be additional information that would make it clear, I believe, that number 18 in the complaint is in fact substantiated, and therefore probable cause has been established.
While you're thinking about that,
Senator Sharon,
can I clarify something? I'd like to clarify something that I heard you say. That you're saying to me that you can accept this as accurate, but your vote against probable cause is saying that you do not believe these accurate statements reflect a violation of the Senate rules.
Yeah.
Did I hear that correct?
Yes.
I just want to check that you're saying then that you will accept these statements that Senator Michelle brought the Minnesota Senate to dishonor and disrepute by failing to take appropriate action to fully and swiftly address the alleged appropriate relationship.
And I'm sorry, what number?
What number are you looking at? Just cite.
16, 17, and 18 are the essence of the complaint. So if we're accepting this.
Senator Sharon, that's the complaint. Those are stated as.
That's the complaint itself. I mean,
that's opinion. That is what Senator Pappas was asking for and what she was saying. That portion of those 15, 16, 17, and 18 are not. Number 13, where it says on January 18th, I mean, obviously exactly what, you know, someone was said was stated there. I guess that to me, the 15 is the essence of the complaint, not.
This is her complaint.
Was it stated as opinion?
So you're, to make sure I understand your perspective, that you're saying that while you accept that there's conflicting information from press conferences and various public statements that Senator Michelle made, and that it does not, that it, then it doesn't, you don't draw the same conclusions from that as there are in 16, 17, and 18. Is that what you're saying?
Are you talking to me or, I'm sorry, okay.
I mean, those who have voted against probable cause, you know, we're trying to get moved towards either.
Certainly, Madam Chair, number 16, it states Senator Michelle, this is a complaint now from Senator Pappas. This is her complaint. This is her view. Senator Michelle brought the Minnesota Senate into dishonor and disrepute by failing to take appropriate action to fully and swiftly address the alleged inappropriate relationship. Now, this, again, is her. In her mind, it should have been handled according to her mind, not necessarily. And I'm here to say not necessarily that the Senate Assistant Majority Leader agrees with the same way of handling it. I've been saying that all along. It's a different style, different management style. Her complaint is very clear. She says according to her, he was failing to take appropriate action to fully and swiftly address the alleged inappropriate relationship.
I don't know that any one of us can judge that. I don't know if any one of us can say it should go quicker or should go slower.
I can tell you that it's very difficult for me to complete, without further investigation, completely determine whether or not that's a valid statement. But but there's enough for me to want to ask further investigation about what, if I could, when precisely did, as Assistant Majority Leader, Jeff, Senator Michelle, get asked to for assistance from staff, and what very specifically did occur that would suggest to me that he took swift and appropriate action, whatever that is. I can't get that information because when we asked those questions, we were guided away from them. So I think there's enough here to suggest that based on the comments that were made in press conferences that both inaccurate information was presented and that there's at least enough question about the reactivity of Senator Michelle to the information that he received early as opposed to later when there was actually this press conference. There's enough in the complaint to suggest that it's worth further investigation.
If, Madam Chair, Senator, if it's your determination that he inappropriately handled it not quick enough through your eyes, then I understand where you're coming from. But I don't think you or I or any one of us on this panel can judge the time frame that this kind of a thing takes to handle, to deal with. I don't think it can either happen really quickly or it can be worked on through the proper channels. And I don't think there's a dispute as to whether confronting the majority leader at that time is in dispute. It's just that you're hung up on the time factor of the interviews in the media. Is that accurate?
Thank you. Those interviews give us a window into the complaint, the reason for the complaint, that we don't know based on when the staffer talked first to Senator Michelle, and close to 3 months later when there is a press conference, if Senator Michelle took any action. We don't know that.
Senator Harrington.
I'm sure. Look, I think what is we have at least two issues here that we are trying to determine. One, we've been told we can't go down that road. We can't ask the questions as to get into what happened during the three-month period. And so I had moved away from that particular part of the complaint and had focused on the part that was already public, which is the statements made to the press. The statements made to the press are already in the public view. They were made to the media. We have videotapes. We can get certified transcripts of them. We can have best evidence of what was said. And with fairly good certainty, when they were said. That is one of the allegations that is part of the complaint. This does not require us to go into areas that you have prescribed. It is one of the essential elements of the complaint as it was written. And it would simply be a matter of validating that on day one he said this, on day two he said this, and on other days he said this, and being able to make a fairly simple judgment that says if he said two different things on two different days, one of them is inaccurate. That doesn't necessarily speak to culpability because that's not the area that we're in right now. We're simply trying to determine if there's probable cause for this complaint. And part of the complaint says that inaccurate information was put out through the press. It doesn't say that it's culpable. It doesn't say that it's all it says is the probable cause to believe that this that, that part of the complaint is true. And then that, that allows us to go in and do an investigation as to whether or not rules were violated and what else, and figure out from there. But at this point, all we're trying to do is figure out whether there's probable cause for the complaint. And 18 on the complaint talks about making false, clearly misleading public statements. Two different statements made to the press, one of them has to be false. I don't know any other way that that, that math that works out.
Senator Harrington, we, the committee had discussions and took votes on probable cause, no probable cause, and investigation. I'm just saying that.
With all due respect, I don't think that's the case. I think we said, was there probable cause for this, for to believe this in total? And all I'm trying to do is get to the information on one facet of the complaint. So we've now cut the complaint down from saying we're taking the entire complaint and is there probable cause? Where one could say, what I've heard Senator Ingebrigtsen say over and over again is he doesn't believe that the way he managed the complaint was inappropriate. He hasn't said that. In fact, he has said tonight that at least if I'm correctly hearing him, that inaccurate statements were made. He wouldn't use the term inaccurate, but he did essentially admit that, that the statements weren't the same, which to me, I'm going to use the term inaccurate. So I don't believe we did vote on that particular part of this. We voted on a much bigger package than this. And I think getting the additional information would, allow us to vote on that narrow particular line of questioning as to whether or not we can validate that one part of the complaint.
We voted on the complaint, and I think that and my vote was no probable cause. My vote was there is we do not have any reason to investigate further. Whichever way you slice it, I don't believe that there is information here to lead us to look at any kind of investigation on some kind of violation of the rules. So I guess, Senator, no matter how you slice it, when I took that vote, it was on the entire complaint. So I feel like I would hope that everybody did take a look at that, look at the complaint when they were taking those votes.
But what I've heard tonight, with all due respect, is that we are not in disagreement about whether false statements were made.
Is that true?
I would not, and I don't believe I've ever called them false statements.
No, not you particularly. I'm just saying that as a group, the conversation this evening, the discussion this evening has spoken to the fact that we recognize that statements made on one day were different than statements made on a different day. I'm not sure, is there a way to be able to reconcile those two different statements to say that one of them isn't false?
Madam Chair, because of the inaccuracies of the time frame, again, I go back to that. Because of that, that's going to make one of them false because of a discrepancy in time, whether the senator being interviewed on TV says it's 3 weeks versus actually a term longer than that. That would make one of them inaccurate?
Yes, I would argue it would. Did you buy the pop for a dollar or did you buy the pop for $2? If you say you bought it for a dollar a day and tomorrow you say you bought it for $2, one of those two statements is not accurate. Therefore, one of them is false.
And I think if you look into the complaint, if you spend any time looking at the complaint, you'll see that Senator Michelle says the time thing kind of just been running on and on and on. And as you and I'm assuming the other two of us, all four of us know that time does run on and on and on. And from one day to the next, when you're so busy down here, things are going on, you can get lost up in time. Does that make somebody invalid because they can't get exactly their time frame down? I'm still struggling with this because I think it was handled
I'm not talking about how it was handled. I'm simply talking about...
I know, we're not talking about how it was handled. We're talking
about whether or not one statement is true and one statement is false. And yes, I think that even if you're confused, and you may well have an excuse because you're confused, that doesn't mean that one statement isn't false. I think the falsity of the statement it speaks for itself. Whether you can excuse why he was mistaken, why oftentimes... You know, when questioned, we qualify our answers. But if I simply say I bought it for $1 and I don't qualify it at all, and then tomorrow I say no, I bought it for $2, one of those two statements is false. And that's all I'm trying to determine is, do we have enough information to be able to determine that one of the statements was in fact false? If it's false, it's inaccurate, and that's a part of the complaint.
Senator Harrington, is there a motion? Are you making any kind of motion that we can address directly? Because if there was something that we could address directly, because we have taken a number of votes that I think clearly expressed our opinions on how we felt about these, and you know, if there's, and I appreciate the suggestion, but if there's some kind of motion, I would be willing to entertain that. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, it just, you know, with all due respect to my members here, and we've sat through some grueling times here, not only with this one but other ones, and I think we certainly respect one another, as we should show, I think, a little respect to the other members of the Senate. With all due respect, I think we're on a fishing expedition now. And I think if we go through here and pick every little sentence apart, we're probably going to come up with some kind of an inconsistency. But the bottom line is, that's a complaint. That's through somebody else's eyes. I take Senator Michel at his word. Now, whether he's confused on the time frame and was confused with that in doing an interview, I don't think that's a violation of anything other than being confused on time. I think it's very clear that the thing was handled, and it was handled whether we're supposed to go into that or not.
I'm taking
his word as well as I'm taking Senator Pappas's word that nobody else has come forward that has been wronged here, and I think we're on a fishing expedition. I think we've got nowhere so far, Madam Chair. I think we should adjourn the meeting. This is an impasse, and I would ask you to end the meeting. I'm not making it in a form of a motion. I think you're the only one that can do that.
To that point,
Senator Harrington,
that's not what I've asked, though. I'm not asking about whether you think he made a mistake or whether you wish to excuse that mistake, because that doesn't happen until after we've come up with whether there's probable cause. I'm simply trying to determine, is there facts to support that inaccurate statements were made? That's all I'm trying to do. I think that is the one part that we can have a discussion about that isn't in violation of the parameters that the chair has laid out. It is part of the complaint, and it seems to me that if there is anything we can do, we should, in fact, try and make that determination. Now, once we have made that determination, then you can have an argument as to whether or not you believe that that is wrongdoing or not. I'm not arguing that it's wrongdoing. I'm simply arguing that that we can demonstrate that inaccurate statements were made, and that if we can demonstrate those as part of this hearing, that we ought to be able, that we ought to take the action to be able to do that. And whether that is getting through a certified copy of the transcripts or looking at the videotape, that to me seems like that is the prudent step to do. And it's not a fishing expedition. I'm simply going on what is in the complaint. I'm not going anywhere beyond the complaint, and I'm not going to the places you keep going back to, which is whether or not this was handled appropriately. I'm simply asking, on day one, what did he say? On day two, what did he say? I just want to be able to determine that that piece.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, you had mentioned a motion to adjourn, and you can make a motion to adjourn. It's not solely in my... So if you would like to make that motion, we will certainly entertain it.
Madam Chair, I will. And the reason I'm doing this is we can just go back and forth over this. We can go back and forth. We can and we're, you know, and you're right. We're not getting to what actually how it was handled and whether it was handled improperly. We're not even to that. I mean, we can't. I think we can. There's no allegation of any inappropriate, at least I don't think, in the complaint of the way it was handled, other than the time frame that was talked about with the media, and that's where we're all hung up. And that, to me, is just not. There's just not probable cause. We voted on that already both ways. I just see this just dragging it out more, another headline, and I frankly think we need to put it to rest. We can't come up with anything, any kind of determination here, and it's in the best interest of the Senate to move on. Simple as that. That's my. Well, that's a motion. Motion to.
Well, motion to adjourn. Senator Sharon.
Discuss the motion.
Yeah, we motion.
I don't know where this is going to go in the long run, but I'm going to vote against that motion. But I want you to know that it's because as we're talking more, I'm hearing some different things from you and from you, Senator Fischbach. One from you is that you're, and I may be mishearing, so I'm just asking for confirmation, that on the issue, on the part of the complaint that relates to inaccurate public statements made to the press in the public, which I hear you, I'm not sure that you believe that there were inaccurate statements made to the press, that you believe that there weren't, because that's what Senator Michelle said. But what I hear from you, Senator Fischbach, is that you do accept the data about the conflicting messages and et cetera, but that you don't believe that rises to a probable cause that a violation of ethics rules has occurred. That if he did deceive, that if he did, was deceptive in his communications with the media, that that does not rise to the level of an ethics violation. That's what I'm hearing, two different things from each of you.
And Senator Sharon, Senator Ingebrigts and I are allowed to think differently.
Right. No, I'm not confronting you as thinking differently. I'm just, it's becoming clear to me that you're saying, Senator Fischbach, you're saying that if we just stay on the issue of misleading the press, that if you accept that the conflicts represented in the complaint reflect a miscommunication with the press, but that you do not believe that misleading the press with the inaccurate statements rises to the level of an ethics violation. I just want to make sure that that's your position.
I do not believe that there was any violation of the ethics as written by the Senate rules. I do not believe there is a violation of the Senate rules.
Madam Chair, I believe that question was directed at me as well. The word deceptive, misleading, and miscommunicating were used to the media. No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with those terms at all. I agree with there's obviously a time lapse that went on that was not very clear. But again, I keep going back to understanding that a time lapse can happen. But does that mean that has brought disrespect or ill repute to the Senate? It does not get there with me. It just doesn't. And I don't think he was intentionally deceptive, misleading, or miscommunicating. One iota. So you'll never get me to say that I said that, ever.
And Senator Sharon, you mentioned you were going to vote against the motion to adjourn. I am going to vote for it because I believe we are moving around in circles. And I think both Senator Ingebrigtsen and myself have made it clear where we are. I believe through votes, I believe Senator Harrington and you, Senator Sharon, have made it clear where you are on the situation. And as I had mentioned earlier, if we do adjourn, if there are additional recommendations, we will certainly entertain them. But I don't see... We've made all three of the votes. We can, unless there was other motions that would be put on the floor. But
I don't see a lot of point in us continuing to stay here and spin our wheels and continue to argue in circles. And Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Just because I did that didn't mean I had to say anything.
Well,
I'm trying to think on the move here too. I can't help but comment with regards to the amount of time we've been involved with this now. I don't know how long has it been. When was our first meeting? Has it been a month? It hasn't been a month, has it? 3 weeks maybe? Nothing more has come. Nothing more has come forward. Nobody's come forward and said, oh my goodness, yes, in fact, Senator Michelle's actions were such that brought this disrespect or ill repute or whatever the terms are here in this committee forward, and it just isn't happening. So what she's talking about, waiting until something like that happens, I'm certainly wide open to any of that if it comes. It just has not come yet. I don't expect it's going to come.
Senator Harrington.
In the time we've taken to say we're not going to look at the videotape and that we're not going to look at the transcript, we could have looked at the videotape and read the transcript word by word into the record and actually have gotten this done and made a determination of fact. The conversation has been made that we have spent too much time on this. And I'm not sure how much time the reputation of the Senate or Senator Michelle's reputation is worth. I'm the new guy on this panel, and so maybe I'm missing the point here, but it strikes me that we are in a position where Senator Michelle's reputation is sitting here in judgment, and that however much time we take, I would think, as a colleague of Senator Michelle's, is worth it so that we can get to the facts and either clear the air and exonerate him or find that he has, in fact, taken some inappropriate action and have him resolve it and so that we could then move on. To do anything other than that puts us in a position where, for in perpetuity, his reputation and the reputation of this body will be in question. And I'm not sure how much time we should spend to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I'm not sure if it's a day, I'm not sure if it's an hour, I'm not sure if it's the time it would take to get the videotapes and look at them to determine whether there was a factual discrepancy or not. I guess I just don't know the answer to that question. But what I do know is that if we adjourn and we leave this open, that the time that his reputation will be in question and that this body's reputation will be in question will continue every day from that point on because it will never get resolved.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, in our last ethics committee, one of the pieces of evidence that was used was an interview. Actually, it wasn't an interview. It was actually a taping of what went on in the floor session. That was available to us. It was available to the, I believe it was a Senator, and I don't want to speak out of church here either. Senator Rest, I think, brought the complaint. Mm-hmm. That was brought forward here. If this was something that should have been brought forward, you know, here we are now into our third or fourth meeting, and you've had an opportunity to do that, Senator Harrington. I think if that even is brought forward and we still come to no resolve, we're going to come up with some other angle we should be looking at. The opportunity has been here. You've never brought that forward until now. Again, I go back to this, and it's a terrible term, fishing expedition, but by golly, that's what it's getting to be. That's what it looks like to me. So if we're not going to get something here, we're going to cast the line over the other side of the boat and see if we can't find something over there.
With all due respect, sir.
Senator Harrington.
The first hearing, we were going through the statements, and we adjourned in order to accommodate going to the floor session. We did not return that evening. The second hearing, we were prescribed to the subject matter of what did Senator Michelle and Senator Pappas want to have done. We weren't asking about new evidentiary pieces. the first opportunity for me to have a conversation about looking at different evidence came this evening when Senator Fischbach opened that conversation. I've simply been abiding by the direction of the chair in trying to follow her lead in terms of what lines of questioning were available and what lines of questioning were appropriate. This is, by my count, the third meeting, and this is the first meeting where alternative forms of evidence to try and substantiate probable cause was asked for. But at this point, I've simply been following the rules as they were given to me. So I don't feel that this is a fishing expedition. I really don't feel that I'm casting the net wide or very far. I'm simply looking at the complaint and asking myself, what evidence do we have to either believe or disbelieve the complaint? And in some areas, I have been told I can't ask that question. I can't get witnesses. I can't take testimony to anybody who would validate or invalidate certain lines of questioning. And I have complied with that and have not gone down that road. That clearly was the direction I would want to go in the first hearing, but I was told that that was not a line of questioning to follow, and I have abided by that. I have tried to abide by the rules as they've been set up here. So the rules are we can talk about the things that are already in the public view, and so I have focused on the one point in the complaint that is in the public view. And in answer to Senator Fischbach's inquiry as to were there other ways of validating that or bringing new information in, I've simply suggested a way to do that. I don't think that's a fishing expedition. I think that's simply following direction of the chair.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Mr. Mayor.
If the purpose of this hearing is to determine whether or not there's whether Senator Pappas's complaint rises to the level of probable cause, I guess my question, I have two questions. What would the purpose be in going beyond the complaint itself? And do the rules even allow that under the circumstances? I mean, Senator Pappas had 3 months to do her level best to come up with an ethical complaint against Sarah Michelle. She failed. She's been unable to convince this committee that there's probable cause. So what beyond the complaint is this committee to be looking at, and where in the rules is it allowed?
Well,
Senator Sharon,
I would just add to that there has not been an action either to not find probable cause. And therein is the paralysis. We can say neither that there was probable cause, nor can we say that there was not probable cause as of yet. But I would just add to an earlier conversation that Senator Pappas has submitted a complaint that has been, and in a sense, taking on the responsibility of raising the question of whether or not ethical behavior or unethical behavior has occurred, and has been absolutely castigated for taking that on behalf of the Senate. And she has been the person who has been treated as though she was acting inappropriately and completely reorganizing and redirecting the issue away from what is documented as conflicting information by statements that Senator Jeff Michelle made and actions that Senator Jeff Michelle did. That's what the focus of this is. Now, I do think that there's two different issues here. One is whether or not, in fact, the data demonstrates that the person of Jeff Michel misled the public through the media and brought, that's one question. Then the other question is, if you agree that he did do that, Senator Michel or Senator Fischbach says that even if he did do that, even if I accept that as factual, in my mind, it doesn't rise to the level of an ethics violation. We haven't even talked about that. If you accept that what was inaccurate here in his conflicting statements rises to the level of an ethics violation, we haven't even talked about that.
Madam Chair? My question was directed to the chair, and I'm not sure what happened with Senator Sharon there. But
I was thinking that maybe she had something to either add or add to your question. But
I think she was just trying to be helpful.
And I did. And I'll repeat it.
Can I address to that point? I mean, there's some pretty strong not allegations.
Can I just very quickly?
Real quickly.
I should be very quick.
No, I'm sorry. I would be very quickly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mayor.
I would like to address Mr. Mayor's question because I don't have a clear answer because the rules are not clear. If you're asking what we base the actions on, I know that you've looked through them. They're not as clear as probably in a case like this you would like them to be. If I understood your question, if counsel and I understood correctly what you were looking. What the basis of probable cause was, where we found our the ability to move beyond, and if we were focusing on the complaint, I guess we are looking at some tradition and custom and usage in that sense. If correct me if I'm, or you know, clear it up if I'm not answering your question directly. Because that's what I heard you asking about. Where is it that we find the ability for us to move beyond the complaint and those kinds of things?
And I guess, thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess part of that is, we read the rules as saying this is a hearing about what's in the complaint, mm-hmm. the adequacy of the allegations in the complaint. And I get that there maybe other sources of information out there that that have information about what Senator Michel said or did, but I don't think that's what I don't read the rules as saying that's what the purpose of this hearing is. And realistically, I mean, Senator Sharon and Senator Harrington have already. They already believe that there is probable cause, and that was long before they ever heard this other stuff that Senator Harrington now wants to bring into this hearing. So how important really is it to them? They seem to have made up their mind.
Senator Harrington.
Well, to that point, I read the transcript. You made some questions as to whether the transcripts are accurate or not. I've simply said, then let's bring in accurate information. I believe the transcripts and the facts as they're listed in here do substantiate probable cause to believe that inaccurate statements were made. You may not agree, but for better or worse, you're not part of the committee at this juncture. My wish to bring in the additional information isn't really to convince you. It's to have the conversation so that all of us can see the same things and listen to the same tapes so that we can have an accurate conversation about what was said and when it was said, because I believe that if that happens, that if on day one something was said and day two something different was said, that if we all hear that in the same time in the same place, that we will all come to the conclusion that an inaccurate statement must have been made, which will lead us to yes, there is probable cause, which is where I am right now. I just simply believe that in respect to the chair, that there needed to be additional information because they aren't seeing the same facts that I am. And I'm simply asking it whether that was an option to be able to bring that information so we could all be on the same page. They can make their own judgment. And I have been very clear to point out that even if an inaccurate statement was made, and I think there is at least, I've heard from several members of the panel or the committee today that there seems to be some validation for that. I'm not saying whether that's culpable or not. I'm just saying were inaccurate statements made. If they are, then I believe that substantiates one of the claims in the complaint that brings us to probable cause. At that point, we can have a conversation about whether that's culpable or not. But we haven't even gotten to that point, and we keep jumping ahead to saying we want to have a conversation about culpability. I'm not asking that question. I'm simply asking a factual question. Do we have facts that show that inaccurate statements were made? And what's the best evidence that we can provide? My read of this is that under 55.3, subcommittee shall investigate a complaint. That's what it says, and to make sure that I'm not cherry-picking that, as I was alleged earlier, shall investigate a complaint made in writing by a member of the Senate under oath. We have a complaint made by a member of the Senate under oath. We have a responsibility as committee to investigate it. That's simply is what that statement says. And to me, an investigation is a gathering of the facts. It's not finding judgment in this case. It is simply a gathering of the facts. And that's all I've asked for is the opportunity to gather information.
Senator Harrington, with all due respect, what I hear you saying is you want to watch the videotape in order to convince, you want to gather more information to convince Senator Ingebrigtsen and I that there is probable cause. I mean, that is essential, and I believe I have whatever I need in the complaint.
And you have said that clearly, and you certainly have voted your conscience on that. That doesn't take away my right to ask for it, and that's what I've done. And I don't know why we continue to go around on this. It's been asked and answered.
That's my point.
So I'm responding to his concern about why we're doing this and whether or not we have the authority to do it at this point.
Madam Chair, but the other part of my question was it's not the authority is one point, but the other is the necessity. I mean, we're not disputing the chair's comments that the facts, not Senator Pappas's conclusions in her complaint, but the facts alleged in the complaint are deemed to be true for purposes of this, and we just don't think it rises to the level of any false or misleading statements or any statements that have brought disrepute upon the Senate. So, you know, so the need to go beyond that complaint just doesn't seem, it's just not obvious to me.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, I wanted to address Senator Sharon's comments about Senator Pappas taking all the heat for this complaint. She knew this was coming one way or the other. I mean, when you sign these complaints, you step into a responsibility that you're willing to take. I mean, that's understandable. I certainly understand that. It begs a question, however, though, if this is such a terrible, terrible thing to the Minnesota Senate, why she is the only one on the complaint. I know of ethics committees where there has been numerous senators that have signed on the complaint, and I find it, now that that was brought up by Senator Sharon, rather interesting that she's the only one. So maybe this isn't that much of a problem with the rest of the senators as much as it is her. I don't know that, but it begs the question as to why. And I keep going back to the Senator Johnson thing that was brought up in the first committee hearing, and to try and make any kind of a comparison there in itself is an ethical violation as far as I'm concerned. That is just out of line, just totally out of line. There is no apples-to-apples comparison to anything. Anywhere's clear to that. So, Madam Chair, I think I do have a motion.
Yes, you do. You have a motion to adjourn on the table.
Are we still discussing the motion?
If you'd like to discuss, no, we didn't vote on it. If you'd like to discuss the motion, if you have.
Well, I would vote against the motion because, just to stay in line with the motion, I just want to read 56.2 from the Standards of Ethical Conduct. In terms of determining whether there's probable cause as to whether or not, and speaking now not so much to what your issue is, Senator Ingalls, but Senator Michelle, about whether or not what is in front of us in a complaint is adequate for probable cause that a standard of ethical conduct has been violated. 56.2 reads, a member shall not publish or distribute written materials if the member knows, has reasons to know, the materials includes any statement that is false or clearly misleading concerning a public policy issue concerning or concerning members of another improper contact includes, violates the rules of administrative policy of the Senate, violates accepted norms of Senate behavior, or betrays the public trust, or that attempts to bring the Senate into dishonor. That's the question, whether or not what's presented in the complaint. Is adequate for us to say it's probable, it's possible, it's probable, and deserves further investigation as to whether or not that has occurred.
Madam Chair, it's 56.2 in the complaint. Am I missing it? 56.1 is, 56.3 is.
We were earlier directed to the fact that we had an inaccurate
piece. That's why I'm inquiring.
Actually, it's Senator
Ingebrigtsen under number 21 of the complaint. It is your complainant's belief that Senator Jeff Michel violated Senate Permit Rule 56. Is that the?
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, her statement is 56.1, 56.3.
Well, but then number 21 should point out the whole thing.
Right.
And number 23.
Madam Chair, what Senator Sharon is talking about is. Any statement that is false, I don't know that there's any question about that, or clearly misleading. I don't know if there's any clearly misleading going on here. I can't still be convinced that Senator Michel clearly misled anybody for any other reason other than trying to protect some of the folks that were involved here that were talking to him, which I think, quite frankly, again, I go back to who am I to judge that kind of a decision. I think, I'm not going to sit here and say it was a bad decision. It might have been a very good decision. In fact, I think time is showing that it has been a good decision. Nobody else, again, has come forward and said that they were wronged here. So I think, quite frankly, the decision for him to take some time with this was the right decision. Now, whether he clearly misled anybody here, I just don't see it. It's just not here.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Mayor.
Doesn't 56.2 have to do with the publication or distribution of written material? And isn't that why Senator Pappas didn't include it in her complaint?
It does state written material. That's possible, yes. Thank you for pointing that out. Senator Harrington?
Senator Michel or his attorney just said they didn't have any argument with the fact that there was false information here. He said they stipulated to the facts in the complaint and that it admitted that there were inaccuracies there. We are not asking the question about intent. That's not part of what has been said. And so to say that there's no evidence that any false information or inaccurate information.
You're saying that he and his
Senator
Ingebrigtsen agreed to
Senator Ingebrigtsen. Senator Harrington was going to finish his statement. Senator Harrington.
What I heard, and we can certainly play back the tape at some point, was that his attorney, I believe, said that they stipulated to the facts, not the conclusions, but the facts in Senator Pappas' statement. Okay. The facts in Senator Pappas' statement indicate that different statements are made on different dates. To me, that is... He's now validated that false information on one occasion or the other was made.
And Senator Harrington, to that point, I believe Mr. Mayor wanted to respond because I heard your voice.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas, would you like to join us at the table? I mean, since
if you have anything.
Having one perspective, might as well have everybody join in the mudsling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the members are clear, what I said, or at least tried to say, was that we accept what I've heard from Mr. Bodern and the chair, that the facts, not the conclusions, alleged in Senator Pappas's complaint are, for purposes of this probable cause hearing, deemed to be true. I read the complaint and have a different conclusion than Senator Harrington does about whether or not those facts describe Senator Michelle being false, misleading, or bringing disrepute upon the Senate. I don't think it does. I think, you know, he said some, he was imprecise, but I don't think he was false or misleading. I don't think that Senator Pappas's complaint identifies him being false or misleading. So we're not conceding that, because that would be a conclusion of hers, and we don't accept her conclusions. But we're not here saying that what is purportedly said by Senator Michelle and reported by Senator Pappas isn't accurate. Just saying we disagree with the conclusions they get to.
And Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but yeah, did you have something? Okay. I would just... We're at a point where I think we're looking at the vote on the motion to adjourn. And I just want to point out that what are we going to do if we stay? We will just continue to, in this circular fashion of discussing the same thing over and over. And, I mean, if that's what we want to do, but I do think that we've taken the votes that we can take. And been very definitive on how that the outcome of those. So I guess I would before we take that vote, think about what are we going to accomplish, if anything, by staying here, given that we've taken the votes. Senator Sharon.
Yeah, and I think I understand what you're saying, and what will we accomplish by staying here may be more of the same, which is sort of a paralysis. So I'd also like to hear what ending, if we do adjourn, what does that mean? I'd like that articulated clearly. What does that mean that we adjourn? What does it mean in relationship to the complaint?
And I don't know if you would have something to add, counsel, but the way that I understand it, we would simply be deadlocked. And it wouldn't be the first time. I actually I saw it on a tweet that it's not the first time that a ethics committee would have been deadlocked. I didn't know it until then. But we would be deadlocked. If there was a change that we would was significant to address, if there was a recommendation, something that came out of came to light, I mean, I would be willing to reconvene, but at this it would just simply mean that we are deadlocked and the complaint would essentially, I mean, for in comparison, I suppose it would be laid on the table in some way to describe it a little better.
Yeah, I think that, excuse me,
Senator or Senator Sharon.
It would be characterized as being laid on the table or deadlocked.
Senator
or unresolved.
Sharon, that's my description. So,
I don't have trouble with that description. I do have trouble with a description that would say that we did not find probable cause, because that would be be deceptive in its incompleteness. So I'm not saying you would say you're saying that, but I want to make sure that we're clear that we're not saying that there is not probable cause.
I think
we're also not saying there is probable cause. We simply are.
And Senator Sharon, I think that it was very clear. I think deadlocked is very clear, and the fact that we took a series of votes.
Well, I just have heard in some of the discussion here that we have not found probable cause. That's deceptive in its omission, in its incompleteness. So I just want to say that on the record for everybody in the room to hear.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Senator Sharon, through your eyes, it's deceptive. Is that what you're saying? That statement is deceptive?
A statement.
We simply just not
it's
did not
incomplete.
Find.
In,
okay, that's probably
I'm saying
better.
It's
that's
incomplete, and there are deceptions of omission. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Madam Chair, the point of all has already been raised to reopen this. That was already offered up on the table and was voted down, that we postpone this until until further action of the potential lawsuit. That was voted down by a vote of 2-2. So my contention is that if we adjourn, I don't see that there's any further time that we would reopen this. That was already on the table, and Senator Harrington and Senator Sharon voted against that opportunity. So that opportunity has already come and gone. My suggestion is that when we're at an impasse, it's done. We're done.
And Senator Ingebrigtsen, I appreciate that, but as chair, if there was some new revelation, someone got a good night's sleep and came up with an excellent action or way we could deal with this, I wouldn't want to say that I wouldn't entertain that. I certainly would listen to, you know, recommendations or ideas on things like that.
We can always reconsider the earlier motion. Madam Chair, I'm understanding from you that the intent of your motion is to terminate this and not to come back together again.
The other option was on the table. You voted against it.
Yep, but we can always reconsider another motion. We've certainly done that in the Senate plenty of times.
If you voted in the affirmative, I think that's how
prevailing
it goes.
Side.
That rule applies to this hearing.
It's not limited on committee.
It's not limited on committee, right? So it doesn't apply to this committee.
Yeah, and I'm not doing a gotcha. I'm just pointing that out. We've had our opportunity to do that, Senator Sharon, and that was turned down. And I certainly respect the chair's position. If something does come up, I've said that all along. If somebody comes forth that's wronged, which hasn't happened yet, I'm wide open to that. I would not sit here and say that I wouldn't be open to that. But well, until that happens, I think, you know,
but
we're
I think
at
we do
impasse.
Have to be clear, don't you? We have to be clear in terms of the meaning of your motion. If this is the termination of this committee, this subcommittee's meetings, or if it is a, as Senator Fischbach said, that it is an ending of the meeting until one of us comes up with a proposal for us to consider in the future in relationship to this complaint. I think I'd like to be clear about that.
And
intent of your motion, because it's your motion.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
And Madam Chair, I think it should be clear also that we talked about the opportunity for Senator Michelle and Senator Pappas to handle it in a different fashion if they so choose. I don't think we should forget about that either, in all fairness. So I'm fine with that. Fine with the chair's decision.
And Senator Sharon, it wouldn't completely terminate, we wouldn't terminate the committee. It would just be that we would terminate this hearing and the matter would come at the call of the chair.
You sure we can't terminate the committee?
Man, that takes a rule
now
change.
You got me something I'm going to vote for.
No, it's not an easy task here. And nobody says it is.
So we will renew the motion to adjourn. And Senator Ingebrigtsen's, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no.
No. Oh.
I'm going to vote no just so I can listen to Senator Harrington and what it is that you would propose. So that's no, it fails.
Yes, it fails. Motion fails.
The rules, Madam Chair, but ruled by the committee that I understand is we can adjourn to a point certain, which I proposed earlier, 15 days.
Okay. That, yes, I recall now.
That was turned down.
It was
down.
The
I'm
investigation
not sure.
for the 15 days. Oh. That was remaining Senator Harrington, I'm sorry.
That is one of the three options that by the Senate rules we have.
And Senator Harrington, may I remind you there was a long discussion and it was voted down.
And I recall that. Part of my difficulty with this is that while it has been said that we are open to gathering additional pieces of information, whenever we have tried to make an inquiry into how we could do that, that door gets shut. And so I'm a little frustrated with the position that says we would be open to new information, but if it is not in the original complaint, that you can't go there. If it is in the original complaint and we could get better evidence, we still can't go there. If it's implicit in the complaint and we need to take testimony, which is allowed by rules under our subpoena powers, we can't go there. It seems like the committee's ability to do its work, which is to investigate the complaint, is not being allowed. And while I certainly respect the process that has brought us to the deadlock, I renew my concern that this is not a complaint that a cup of coffee ought to be the result of. This is a complaint about the public opinion of the Minnesota State Senate. I don't know that a cup of coffee resolves that, not to my satisfaction. And whether one person brings a complaint or 100 people bring a complaint, it doesn't change the legitimacy of that initial person's complaint. I don't think you need to have 100 victims in order to have a case. I think you can have one victim who brings forth facts, and our charge is then to investigate those facts. I don't feel that we've done due diligence or done justice to our charge. And so adjourning and leaving this as an open question, to me, doesn't feel like we have fulfilled our obligation. And I'm frankly a little stymied by the idea that I proposed alternate ways of validating parts of the complaint and been told simply, well, we don't want to go there. Well, okay, but then someone should come up with another way of validating the complaint. And you can't keep saying no to every avenue to validate the complaint and then say we're closing it because there are no avenues.
Senator Harrington, I appreciate that Senator Harrington, we all have our opinions, and you are simply trying, or at least in my opinion, you're trying to validate your opinion by continuing the investigation. I have decided. I have looked at the complaint. I have, and there was additional information, whether it be a validated transcript or not, looked at those, and I feel I've made my decision. I don't need further information. I used the complaint. I used the information. And I have made my decision. I appreciate the fact that you are continuing to push to gather more information and move into an investigation to convince others on the committee to move to your position. But I have made my decision. And I believe that it's been very clear. And that's why I'm a little, I mean, we can stay here and we can talk about your desire for a further investigation, but we did vote on that. But I will say I've looked at the information. I've decided.
And I appreciate that.
Senator Harrington.
And I simply refer back to the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct, which says the Senate subcommittee shall investigate a complaint. That's what it says. It doesn't say we shall not. It says we shall investigate. And I simply come back to that. And I'm not, I have no particular desire to continue this tonight, but I think closing off that is not in keeping with what the rules say is our mission. And I'm not trying to convince you at this point that it is our mission. That's simply, just as you have a heart, you have heartfelt beliefs about that, that there isn't substantiation here, I have those, I have my own beliefs. And I would actually prefer if you would bring me the evidence that would help bring me to your position then. That's all I've been asking for, is someone to bring me the evidence so that I can one of us can move. It's not that I'm not saying that you will necessarily move, but someone has to either bring me additional information so that I can move, or I have to bring information to those of you that have voted no so that you can move. Or, otherwise, I think we continue to investigate. That's
Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I go back to the the process. The Senator Harrington has apparently had a problem with the process. That was discussed at the last meeting. It was discussed at this meeting that not enough evidence was able to be brought forward because of the potential litigation. I know that was talked about at the first meeting. However, Senator Pappas got up and gave a very clear and decisive complaint. Senator Michelle gave his side of the story very clearly and concise. We had an opportunity to question, I think, what pertained to and what was drawn on the two-page document complaint. We weren't able to come up to any determination, obviously, with the 2-2 tie on whatever vote we took. We finally came to the conclusion that this was a very extenuating circumstances. That it was something different because of this litigation involved potential. It was brought forward then to say, let's stop this process until after that's done. That wasn't good enough. I think both you and Madam Chair and I decided, or at least the vote would indicate, that we would be open to that continuing this at that point. That was voted down, and now we're back at an impasse, and we're still going around and trying to. Senator Harrington's statements are very, very pointed to the fact that we're not doing our job and we're not doing what our function is as an ethics committee. And frankly, I guess I don't know that I take offense to that, but I disagree with that, like he respectfully disagrees with me, and the four of us respectfully disagree with one another. And at that point, I guess I contend again, we're still at an impasse, and if you're willing to keep yourself open for anything potential down the line, I think that's certainly a gesture in good faith, for sure. And I think the Senate can... We can move forward by saying if there is something else that comes forward, you're willing to open it up. I guess I question whether something is going to happen that the time going lapsing that we've already have. But if you're willing to do that, you're the chair. I think that's reasonable. And but right now tonight, to move forward any other day here until something like that comes up is absolutely a waste of time. And. Not discrediting that a senator's issue that's out in the ballast here. I mean, I take that very seriously. But we're done. We're at an impasse. It doesn't get any simpler than that.
Senator Sharon.
Senator Fischbach, given the idea that we adjourn to the call of the chair, should something emerge that would merit us getting back together again? What would that be? Is what's in my I'm asking. What would that be? Is there some discovery or something, or are we restricted, as people are saying, to what is in the written complaint? If we're restricted to what is in the written complaint and the statements that have been taken already from the complainant and from Senator Michelle. If we're restricted to that for our decision about whether or not enough this information rises to the level of probable cause, that an ethical standard's been violated. If we're restricted to that, what is it more that might come forward that you're thinking of that would merit your calling us back together? What would rise to the level that would cause you to say, hey, that's something that should cause us to get back together?
Madam Chair, I'd be very cautious to answer that. I mean, if you want to throw something out as a for instance, I'd be very cautious about doing that. I guess I would leave that to the discretion of the chair. The chair has to have some discretion. Chairs normally do around here. And I think it's something that she's willing to do, and but to say that, well, we're going to have this or we're going to have that, we're being televised. We're, you know,
I don't mean to
this
be
is
boxing
public.
In.
This
I don't
is
mean
public.
To be boxing in. I'm sorry, yeah. Senator Gritz. I'm really thinking about what's been said here about that the decision about probable cause. If I'm understanding, as it's processing this through, it's taken a while to get through my brain, but to get to probable cause is based on whether or not the complaint, as written by Senator Pappas, adequately articulates enough detail in order for us to say there's probable cause that justifies further investigation. So if that's the parameter, what more is it? I mean, I'm really asking this question in my mind. What more can we bring into this? If that's the boundary, if that's the limit, we can't bring in the tapes of testimony or of the media. We can't. What would cause us to get back together?
And Senator Sharon, I will be vague in some ways because we all live with the legislature and we know there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of things can change. And so I would hate to box ourselves in and say, okay, if X happens, then Y and Z. But I think, you know, I think it would be either, you know, as I was thinking it through, if it was a recommendation for a course of action, you know, what alternatives do we have? Does something change? Something that potentially changes since we last met. And like I said, there's a lot of moving parts around here, so that's possible. So I would hate to be too specific because I don't want to. I think we do.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
I've got nothing.
I've got nothing either.
I just don't.
I don't want to belabor this much longer either, but I'm just trying to think about what would cause us to get back together. And I know I don't want to tie you into any obligations, but an example might of what you're talking about, these moving parts, might be that if Senator Michelle approached Senator Pappas and together they agreed to some action on the part of Senator Michelle, that such as an apology or something, and that would result in Senator Pappas' withdrawal of the complaint, then we might get back together and do something at that point. Is that might be the kind of thing,
yes, yeah.
The kind of thing that you're talking about. And that the value of that would be if Senator Michelle were open to something like that, and I don't know if I can ask him that or not, but I would, that it might resolve what I think is a problem that I don't like leaving on the table, which is an open ethics complaint against a member of our Senate that's unresolved. It's permanent in perpetuity. I take that seriously. As a consequence of our paralysis, is that consequence for Senator Michelle?
Then Madam Chair, Senator Sharon, you should be asking that question of both of them, not just one.
Madam Chair.
Otherwise, that would be very pointed, very, very assumptive that Senator Michelle has got something to apologize about. You should ask them both if they can communicate with each other.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I'd stated previously that I don't think a private conversation is appropriate. I was asked what I would accept as a remedy, and I said a public apology from Senator Michelle for offering misleading statements to the press. Given the circumstances with the rest of the complaint, I would accept that. If he would give that statement on the floor of the Senate, then I would withdraw my complaint. I said that I didn't think a private conversation was appropriate, but if the committee wanted me to review the letter and give my feedback on that, I would be happy to do that.
I'm sorry, what letter? The letter of apology, yeah. Is that what she's requesting?
Yeah. I don't think either the Senator Pappas nor Senator Michelle have indicated an interest in. Is that correct, Senator Michelle?
I'm sure.
Senator Michelle.
I did not lay this before the Ethics Committee. I did not pick this forum. I would not have picked this forum. I would not have thought it wise to twist you into these gymnastics. This issue does not belong before you, and I will continue to state that.
So I think that that's not a probability of happening.
That's not very probable. Yep. So, Madam Chair.
Senator Sharon?
I think that we might be able to get home tonight. Yeah, if we agree to an adjournment. would there be an openness to this? I'm trying to be sensitive to the seriousness of what we're talking about here, that if we adjourn to a determined date within a week, for example, just to reaffirm that that nothing's happened and that we aren't going to move forward, just to give us that opportunity to come back together one more time. To simply answer the question, has anything changed that would cause us to move our position or you to move your position? And if nothing has changed in that time, then we might acknowledge that we've stalemated.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, I would have no problem with you walking over to Senator Fischbach's office and asking her that very question. And if you think that there was something then that needed to be brought forward, if there was something then it would to ask the chair to reconvene, then I'd be fine with that. I think that's reasonable. But I feel like I can walk down there anytime. You should feel the same.
But do not reconvene. You don't believe that the reconvening is worth it?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. But, I mean, we have a lot of staff sitting here that are, I'm sure, really enjoying this an awful lot. And if we're not going to go any further without something first being brought to the chair, then I see. Then I reaffirm my, are we just keeping this out in the public because? And I don't want to say that. I don't want to continue to say that because I feel much more respect for the two of you to do that. I don't think that's an appropriate thing to say.
Continue to say. It's okay for you to say that because, I'm not taking offense that you're saying. If you're wondering, would my motivation for putting a deadline and coming back together be to keep it in the public side?
Right.
That's what you're asking.
No, especially when we have something, a mechanism that the chair has been gracious enough to offer here, that she would bring it forward if there's something that she thinks it's a game changer.
Yeah. I when you're saying that, I can see how you might be thinking that would be my motivation. So I'm not offended by your asking me that. I can, because it gives me a chance to say that's not it. It's that my experience is that if what we're saying is that we will leave it to Senator Fischbach, no offense to Senator Fischbach, to decide that. And my experience in the past is that in a decision that was made, that we gave to the chair to be made in the Ethics Committee, was really different than one that I think we would have made as a group. So that's why, that's my motivation, that I'm saying that I think a decision like that is better made as a group than it is allowing an individual person to make that decision. It's not about trying to keep something in the press. Right. It's just that we, as soon as we turn it over to Senator Fischbach, then it really is out of my control to say, I think that this does merit a meeting again.
Madam Chair, Senator Sharon, I guess I would put the trust in both of you that if there's something that comes forward that you know about, you're certainly going to make enough noise in order to make this meeting happen again. I mean, I really do. If there's something here that, again, the game changer seems to be kind of a fashionable way to talk about things around here. If there is something coming forward, you're going to know about it, and you're going to make it very well known. And I guess that you would make it really well known if Senator Chair Fischbach didn't bring it forward. If you had brought something to her, hypothetically, and she did not react to it and you thought it was an injustice, you're certainly gonna make that statement. I would think you would. I certainly would.
Madam Chair, a question.
Mr. Mayor.
I'm trying to think of something that would be helpful for Senators Sharon and Harrington to be aware of a possibility down the road that would cause the chair to reconvene. And one thought we had is, isn't it also possible that if there was some resolution of the pending litigation in the next however many weeks or months, that that might also affect what the chair does and affect her wanting to possibly reconvene this committee?
Absolutely. That was one of the moving parts.
Well, that begs the question, Madam Chair, that we've already voted that we were to do that, and it's been voted down. It wasn't voted in an affirmative. So if we're going to leave that door open, should we not do it in a proper fashion?
Well, I think that the discussion was about that would be the point at which we would reconvene. But there might be other reasons for which we might reconvene. Not only that.
The other reasons I'm very much aware of, but not. Council has brought forward the very thing that we talked about earlier, the very motion that I made, that we do not talk about this until after the litigation. I mean, we voted no, we weren't going to do that. So,
Senator Michelle, I would just,
Senator Sharon,
say I understand that that was the motion and that it was not supported by 3 votes because it was too restrictive. There may be other reasons why we may want to reconvene. That your motion was to say we won't reconvene until after the litigation is resolved.
That's exactly what he's using as
what I heard him to say, that's another possibility. Here's another moving part, that there may be a resolution to this case in a week, and then that might result in a changing dynamic that would allow us to be more open with our questions, for example.
Madam Chair, I'm saying I was fine with that. I was fine with that to start with, so I make it very clear. I was very, very fine with that moving part. But that was voted down, so I just wanted to make that clear.
But it was voted down, Senator Ingebrigtsen, because it was not allowing for us to meet any sooner. I mean, because this litigation can go on for a year and a half.
Right.
And at that point, Senator Michelle is not a senator and is not a member of the Senate any longer. And is not person over whom we have jurisdiction, so it becomes moot. That's why that was voted down. But to
I'm good with it. I just did. I'm good with that as being a moving part.
It's a moving part. So perhaps the motion would be that we adjourn to the call of the chair. Is that the kind of concept that we're in here?
Yep. Was that a motion, Senator Sharon?
It's a motion.
Senator Sharon has moved we adjourn to the call of the chair. If I dare ask for discussion.
Certainly.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
On a vote of 3-1, we are adjourned.